down here, obviously, because they won't have them. That would be just great. And then there are others dotted around. Just raise a hand if you haven't got one, and we'll get one to you very quickly. While we're doing that, let me just say my son is away on a 24/7 weekend, and the normal person who takes over him to do the football isn't here. Is there somebody who knows about the football afterwards who could just look after that? I think we'll be downstairs today. Someone do that kindly for us. Could you, Caroline? Thank you very much indeed. That's great. And one other thing just before I pray. So everyone's got one of these cards that want them, right? Terrific. One other thing. During the festival, regular members here, you will know this very well, we always have a response card. And you may come to 10 events in the festival and think, oh goodness, have I got to fill in another response card? Yes, please. Can I just ask you to do that? Because if you fill it in, then our visitors and guests will as well. And that's really important. If you think, oh, I can't be bothered with that, then others will feel the same. So just to, when we get onto the festival, if you could always fill in a response card, that'll be really helpful. Thank you. Let me pray now. Heavenly Father, be with us now. Help us to understand the heart of the Christian faith and how we can pass it on to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can anyone tell me who this is? I hope we're going to have someone up on the screen. No, we got problems? Oh, there we go. Can anyone tell me who this is? Oh, it's up there, but it's not here. Quite right. Well done. We got there in the end. Robert Baden-Powell. He is, of course, the founder of the worldwide Scout movement. And can anyone tell me what the Scout motto is? Yeah, Helen? Be prepared. It's absolutely right. And no, just go back. We've just gone a little bit too far. There should be one more click, and up comes be prepared. Should be. Well, we'll see. That might happen. Should be the Scout symbol and the word. There we go. Brilliant. Be prepared. Okay, well, now Baden-Powell himself explained it like this. It means you are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty, he said, by having thought out beforehand any situation that might occur so that you may know the right thing to do at the right moment and you are willing to do it. Well, Baden-Powell died in 1941, but almost 2,000 years beforehand, the Apostle Peter said much the same. He said, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. That's his first letter, chapter 3, verse 15. Now, that's what these four sermons, and again, for you visitors, we've had, this is the last of four sermons, have been seeking to do. And you might like to listen to the other three online if you've missed all or some of them. They're aiming to help us, as Baden-Powell puts it, as Christians, to think out beforehand any situation which may occur at our festival in 2 weeks' time or at home, or whenever an opportunity may arise, and to be prepared to explain clearly and simply the heart of the Christian faith using this card. So that, as Baden-Powell put it, you may know the right thing to do or say at the right moment and be willing to say it. Now, that opportunity can come at any moment. This week, I rang up a member of the church family to talk to her about something to do with the festival. She was with a friend, not a churchgoer, and when my telephone call was over, she explained to her friend what it was about. That led to talk about the festival. She invited her friend, and her friend is hoping to come. Yesterday, another church family member told me that someone said to her, I must find God. Now, of course, that doesn't happen all the time. But whenever an opportunity arises, says the New Testament, we Christians must always be prepared. I wonder if you would know what to say. Well, you could use this card and say there are three things to understand and one thing to do. The first thing to understand, and it's so important, is that God loves us. The famous verse printed underneath says, God so loved the world, that's printed in green, and so it's the end of the verse, we can have eternal life. And so we explain, God loves us and is offering us eternal life. If we could have the next slide, that would be great. Eternal life which begins now, of course, not just for the future, and carries on for eternity. The second thing to understand is that we're in trouble. That's printed in black, and so is the part of the verse which says that we are naturally perishing. That means we're naturally cut off from God, dead to God. And so we explain that we're in trouble because our unforgiven sin cuts us off from God. Now in this life, that's why we don't really know him, naturally, and then in eternity. The third thing to understand is that Jesus died for us. That's printed in red, and so is the part of the verse which says that God gave his only son. God gave him up to death for us. And so we explain, Jesus died for us, taking our sin off us onto himself. Now those are the three things to understand. And now there is one thing to do. Believe in Jesus. It's got a question mark after it because it's a choice we all face. Will we believe in Jesus or will we not? The baptism service spoke about how Max will have a moment when he grows up when he'll have to make that choice. Will he believe in Jesus or will he not? And that's printed in blue. And so is the part of the verse which says this, God so loved the world that he gave his son, only son, so that everyone who believes in him, not everyone, but everyone who believes in him, may not perish, but have eternal life. Now, how are we going to explain that to anyone we are talking with? How are we going to do that simply but clearly? Well, I would want to explain, as I said earlier, that it's a choice we make. You don't just drift into faith. It isn't just, as somebody told me recently, that you have to wait until you're zapped, until inspiration, as she put it, comes. No, either we consciously believe in Jesus, we put our trust in him. Remember earlier when I said, I believe and trust in him, or we don't trust him. And then I might illustrate that from everyday life. Now, here's how I might explain it. Suppose your central heating broke down at one time. And you're at your wit's end over this, so you ring up a friend, and he says, oh, yeah, I know a guy. His name's Jack Smith. He's absolutely excellent. We were in trouble, terrible state, actually, a couple of years ago. And so he came along, he fixed it all up, and our central heating system has just worked perfectly since then. So you telephone him up, and then he promises he'll come, and then the doorbell rings. And when the doorbell rings, if you're a husband here, you're out, and it's just your wife, or maybe it's your elderly mother, who is there at home. And he says he's the repairman. Now, is your wife or your mother either going to believe in him, to trust him, or not? He could be a fake. He says he's Jack Smith, but people do take advantage of these situations, but you're so desperate, or your wife is, or your mum is, so you invite him in, and wonderfully he fixes up the system, and a couple of hours later he's off, and you can have a shower again for the first time for a day or so. Now you'll see how I build on that when I speak to a friend of mine. I'm going to do that before you, as I've done in the other sermons in a moment. And finally, I tell my story, how I came to believe in Jesus. What made me know I must take that step and ask him not into my house, but into my life and the difference that he's made. And I'm leading up to a question to my friend, which is essentially this. Will you take this step and believe in Jesus and enjoy life with him? Now and forever. That question mark again, it's a choice. And I'd want to say, do you think you're ready to make that choice? Well, here's my friend, Ian McDowell's going to come up. And I want you to imagine that Ian is not yet a committed Christian. You didn't know that about Ian, but there you are. That you learn something new every day when you come to church. So here's Ian, he's a friend of mine, and thank you, Ian, I've already given you that. And I want you to imagine that we're in a coffee shop in Crowborough, or maybe we're in each other's home, or maybe I've invited him to the festival. It doesn't matter the situation, but somehow the conversation has got going, and I've said to him, look, I'm not very good at this, but I'd just like to explain to you, using this card we've been given in church, about how you can come to faith yourself. And he said, I said, is that okay? And he's been very long-suffering, and he said, yeah, that's fine. And so we're in the middle of the conversation. We've been through the first 3 points. I've explained to him that God loves us, and he's offering us eternal life. I've explained to him that we're in trouble because our unforgiven sin cuts us off from God. I've explained to him that Jesus died for us and took our sin off us and onto himself. And it's not just been me talking, because as we've gone along, I've said to him from time to time, can you understand that? Do you think that makes sense? And he's gone a leap, maybe tentatively, but he said, yeah, I think that does make more. I think I begin to understand that. Okay, and now we're towards the end of the conversation, and this is where you pick it up with us. Well, Ian, it's great that you feel that you do understand about Jesus dying for us, because, of course, you know the cross is the heart of the Christian faith. It's the symbol, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you've really begun to understand how he takes our sin off us and onto himself, that's a great thing to grasp. So three things to understand, and then there's one thing to do, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the blue symbol here. And it says, as you can see, believe in Jesus with a question mark. And the reason it's a question mark is that it is something which you, as I had to, need to decide. It's you either decide that you're going to believe in Christ. It's a step of putting your faith in him, or you say to yourself, I don't think I could do that. And you can see that in the verse here. As you can see, it's printed in blue. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. See that?
Yes, yes.
Let me just try and explain to you what that means, to believe in Jesus, to take that step. Let me just illustrate it. It's been pretty mild, hasn't it, these last few days? Remarkably
it has,
so.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got your central heating on at home
yet. A bit, yes.
Have you? Mm-hmm. So have we, I may say. Yeah, I often think, shall I turn it off? But anyway, we've got it on a bit too. But imagine Crowborough come January, February.
It's okay. Cold.
It is cold. Yeah. And I want you to imagine that your central heating breaks down, and as luck would have it, it's on a Friday evening, and you're thinking, I'm going to have the weekend, no heat, no baths, no shower, no whatever, okay? So you ring, supposing you ring me up,
And I say to you, and you say, look, do you know anybody? And do you anybody know anybody who'd come out sort of unsociable hours?
Yeah.
Okay? And I say, Ian, I'm so glad you rang because I've got just the man. There's a guy I know, he's called so-and-so. And 2 years ago, we had real trouble in the depths of winter. And we rang our usual people and they kept saying, busy, busy. And then I was put onto this guy. He came within really quite soon, a jiffy. And he did it all, and our central heating has worked perfectly since then. Okay, so here's his number, right? And you ring up, and you get onto the man, and he says, yeah, I'll be around as soon as I can. And then you have to go out, and you leave Philippa at home, okay?
Yeah.
And then the doorbell rings, and he's there. And he says, I'm so-and-so,
yes.
I've come to repair. And he has got his bag in his hand.
Yeah.
But Philippa's alone, okay? And she says, I'm not absolutely sure about this. And, you know, maybe it's dark. But on the other hand, she's pretty desperate to get the central heating fixed up. So she says, you know, she has a bit of a moment of... But anyway, she said, no, I'm going to do that. So she says, welcome, come in. And it's all okay.
Yeah.
He does it. By the time you get back, it's all fixed, and you say, wonderful, and you go and have a shower, your first shower for a little time, and you're terrific, okay? Now, it's just like that with Jesus Christ. He is, as it were, outside, not your house, but your life.
Yeah.
And he presents himself, and he says, Ian, not everything is right with your life. It's not that the whole thing's totally broken down, but there are things that, as we saw early on, we're in trouble. And he says, if you'll let me in, I can fix it for you. I can bring you forgiveness for your sin. I can bring you the new life that the Bible calls eternal
light. Yeah.
Okay? But you need to ask me in to come in and be the Lord of your life.
Okay.
Okay. And you have a moment of hesitation because it's a big decision, isn't it? It's a big thing.
Yes.
And you think, can it, you know, will he really do it or will he turn out to be a disappointment?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the stage I think you've got to.
Okay.
And I can only say from my own experience, I haven't always been a Christian, you know. You know, as a teenager, I was actually quite against it. And I had a friend who was a Christian, and I had lots of arguments with him fighting against it. But eventually I came to the point where I thought, right, I've got to believe in him, as it puts it here.
Yeah.
And I simply knelt down beside my bed and I said, Lord Jesus, I know you're outside my life, but I really have come to the point where I want to believe in you and ask you into my life.
Right.
And I'm so glad that I, all those years ago, said, please come in, because he's made a vast difference to me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's a big decision to take, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. It's a big decision. But it's a very simple decision. It's enormous in its implications. Just like getting married, when you said, I will, to Philippa, it was it's a simple thing to say with enormous implications, but I bet you're glad you said it.
Yeah. and it's life-changing.
It is, absolutely. And what I would suggest is, I mean, you make up your own prayer, but you could actually use these four symbols. I mean, if you feel you're ready, when you go home, you could say, like a prayer like this, you could say, God, thank you that you love me and that you are offering me eternal life. I am in trouble because I know I've sinned against you. Thank you that Jesus died for me to take that sin off me onto himself. And now I want to put my trust in Jesus and believe in him. And ask him into my life. Do you see how you could use this to make it a prayer for yourself?
Yes.
If you wanted to.
Yes. And I can do that at home.
You can do it anywhere.
You could do it walking home now, you could do it at home, you could do it even in the shower with that nice hot water coming down.
Yeah.
And we'll talk again another time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
That's wonderful. Let's give him a little round of applause as well. Terrific. Now, I'm going to ask you if... Thank you, Ian, so much. I'm going to ask you if you are comfortable with this, and only if you are. I totally understand, particularly you, our guests, who, you know, you haven't been at the other three of these sermons and so on. What I'd love you to do is to get into pairs in a moment, and one of you be somebody who is not yet a committed Christian. And that may be true for a number of you here anyway. Or you're not really sure about the Christian faith, okay? So that's one of you in the pair. The other of you be someone who is a Christian, okay? And I want you to imagine that you've been talking for some time and someone says to you, talking to someone else, the person you're talking to says to you, you keep talking about this becoming a Christian, but what would I have to do to become a Christian? Okay? And the other person who's playing the part of the Christian, you take it up from there, and maybe using the card, try to answer that question. Now, try it if you can. If that gives you just a sort of sinking feeling even to think about doing that, then why don't you just talk to your neighbour about what you've heard from me today, about the card, what you make of it, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, so that you have a little conversation as well. Okay? So if you'd like to get into pairs now, this is the time to do that.